Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 1 called How the Mighty Have Fallen.
So David said to the young man who told him, he said, how do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead? I mean, that's the logical question. How did you come across this news? Who are you and how did you get this news of the death of the anointed of God? And the young man who told him said, by chance I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and behold, Saul was leaning on his spear. And behold, the chariots, which may be in question because up on the mountain it would be hard for chariots to operate, and the horsemen pursued him closely. I just happened to be in this area, and I saw King Saul leaning on his spear. Now, if you're David and you have some investigative intellectual capabilities, kind of like an attorney, you have some questions like, well, how did you end up on the battlefield? And where were you when this happened? And if they're hotly pursuing Saul, how is it that you are unscathed in all of this? And you've watched the action. Who are you and where did you come from? In 1 Chronicles 10, there's a report of this. So you have 1 and 2 Samuel, and then turn to your right, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now there's a parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I was reading Warren Wiersbe this week, and he was saying that you could think of 1 Chronicles 10 is what you want, 1 Chronicles 10. He was saying that you could think of 1 Chronicles as telling the story from the priestly point of view, whereas Samuel and Kings is from the king's perspective, Chronicles would be more from the priestly perspective. And here's the record of what happened. We have this recorded in 1 Samuel 31 and 1 Chronicles 10, and they say the same thing, but I want you to see a little bit more detail. 1 Chronicles 10:3 says, the battle became heavy against Saul. The archers overtook him, and he was wounded by the archers. 1 Chronicles 10:4. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, verse 5, he likewise fell on his sword and died. Thus Saul died with his three sons, and all those of his household died together. There'll be more sons that we'll come to in a moment or in later studies. When all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. And it came about the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, this is what they would do, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Now, this is going to be a little hard to take, but this is what the Bible says they did. So they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers around the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the house of their gods, fastened his head in the house of Dagon. And when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, these are ones who Saul had helped earlier, all the valiant men arose and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh, buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And so Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, two of them, because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. So he was disobedient. And also, number two, because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. He said the Lord wasn't speaking to him, but apparently he didn't even try. Therefore, who killed Saul? He, God, killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Now, when we think about this account, go back to 2 Samuel, and we'll start winding it down. We have some varying accounts. This man is about to tell David that Saul was still alive when he came on the scene, and he had to finish Saul off. Let's pick up the account in 2 Samuel 1, verse 7. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and he called to me and I said, here I am. 2 Samuel 1, verse 8. He said to me, who are you? And I answered him, I'm an Amalekite. Now, who was Saul supposed to finish off in their entirety? The Amalekites. Application point. When you don't finish off the enemies in your life and you toy with them and you keep them around and you don't deal severely with the things that cause you to sin, eventually they're going to come back and get you. And it's going to be ironic if the man's story is true. It's an Amalekite that finishes off Saul, but the Amalekite shouldn't have been alive if Saul had dealt with his enemies the way God instructed him to do. We toy with sin. We leave it around. We play games with ourselves. We leave it there for the next indulgence, but we act like we've dealt with our sin. I know it's quiet in here. But hey, this is kind of what we do. And then sometimes we realize, man, I've just been playing a game with myself. By the way, the Amalekites were one of the grandsons of Esau, which is a whole other story. Then he said to me, please stand beside me. Now, in the story, Saul's talking to the Amalekite, and kill me, for agony has seized me because my life still lingers in me. So I stood beside him. Now, this man's before David, with all the looks of, you know, grief and mourning. I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown, which was on his head, and the bracelet, which was on his arm, and I brought them to my Lord. Now, we have two different accounts. 1 Samuel 31, 1 Chronicles 10 says that Saul committed suicide, and then so did his armor bearer. This man says, no, I had to finish Saul off. Now, I'll save you the time on all the commentaries. Some people say Saul tried to commit suicide, his life was still lingering, and the Amalekite actually finished him off. But it's hard to reconcile these accounts. And critics of the Bible have said, this is a contradiction. We have two different accounts of this story. By the way, 1 and 2 Samuel originally in the Hebrew Bible was one book. That means 2 Samuel chapter 1 is the next chapter after 1 Samuel 31. Could we imagine a writer of the Bible forgetting what he wrote a chapter before and writing down a different account? I don't think so. I don't think the Bible writer had a senior moment. I know we all have those, and sometimes it can sneak up on us. It can even be a junior moment. I know some juniors who forget a lot of stuff too, but we won't go there this morning, will we? About cleaning their room and that kind of thing. But you know, the Bible records the lives of people accurately. Say what? Were the lives of Satan recorded in the Bible? Did Joseph's brothers lie about what happened to him to their dad? Yeah. We're reading the text. We know they're lying. The Bible accurately records their lie. Did the Bible record Herod's lie to the wise men? Hey, make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, bring him to me so that I too may worship him. Wrong. He wanted to what? Kill him. The man, I think we could all understand, is lying. Now, some of you say, but why? Why would he lie to this man who's going to come into the kingdom and be the king? Well, I think this man was something like a camp follower. I think he followed around the battle and tried to be kind of a marauder. He tried to take stuff from the dead. This did happen in the ancient world. And here's what would happen. People would die in the battlefield, and these people would scavenge for stuff. And he finds the king with a crown and a bracelet. And what's he got to be thinking? This is the arch enemy of David. If I show up at David's doorstep with the crown and the bracelet, this is going to be an awesome career move for me. Probably hatched the plan in the moment, right? You know, there he is over the body, realizes, oh, this is my lucky day. This is like winning the lotto. King David is going to love me after this. I probably have grapes fed to me for the rest of my days. A beautiful woman will be fanning me. This is going to be awesome. But this man is about to make the worst career mistake of all time. Because what he doesn't realize is that David has had opportunities to kill Saul, but he would not touch him. Because Saul was God's anointed, as much as we may be confused about that. Then David took hold of his clothes when he heard the news and tore them, verse 11, a sign of grief and mourning. And also did all so also did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Now, can you imagine being this guy? You show up, you think, man, I got it going on. This is going to be great. Show me where my new apartment is. And David starts tearing his clothes and says, we're not eating until evening. And you start to go, apparently this news is not being received as well as I thought it might. Apparently this is not a great thing. And David said to the young men who told him, where are you from? With a gulp, I think he said, I'm the son of an alien and Amalekite.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Who told him, where are you from? With a gulp, I think he said, I'm the son of an alien, an Amalekite. An alien would be someone who maybe attached themselves as a sojourner to the people of Israel. And David said to him, how is it that you were not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Why were you not afraid to touch God's man, God's king? What has caused you to do this evil in your heart? And the Bible says that those who want to get rich, who are not content, they pierce themselves through with many a pang. I find this picturesque. This man's about to be pierced through because he was looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, and it's going to backfire on him. And so here's what happens. David called one of the young men and said, go cut him down. So he struck him, and he died. There you go. Don't you love the Bible? It's so honest. This man came with a scheme. He was a liar. But some of you are saying, but then why was he killed if he didn't really kill Saul? Well, David didn't know for sure. But David is going to say something that gives the responsibility, puts it where it belongs. David said to him, your blood is on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, I've killed the Lord's anointed. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so the man went down. Now in the time we have remaining, I'm going to read to you with very little commentary a lament that David taught the sons of Israel. David's the new king. Saul has died. Saul's been his nemesis for many, many years. But I want you to see how David mourns for the fallen heroes. David chanted with this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son, verse 18, and he told them to teach the sons of Judah the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, that's lost to us, but it's also known as the book of the upright. Can you imagine Saul ending up in the book of the upright? You know, this teaches us something really quick about memorial services and funerals. Sometimes we wonder, you know, Why should we speak well of someone if maybe there's not a ton of good stuff to say? You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 lauds the faith of men and women who sometimes failed. Do their exploits of failure get recorded in the hall of faith? No. I think God is seeing things from heaven's perspective. There's a couple of brothers, they lived, I think, in England. They are just scoundrels. They rip people off in business. They are just terrible to deal with. One of the brothers died. And so the other surviving brother came to a pastor in the city and he said, I want you to do the funeral service for my brother, and I'm willing to give you $50,000 to do it. The only condition is that you have to call him a saint. That's the only condition. Just call him a saint. 50 grand for your church. Pastor thought about it and decided to do the memorial service. And so the service commenced that day, and the man was in the pine box there, and his brother was there. And the pastor began to address the crowd, and he said, "This man in this box was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He was a liar and a thief. He ripped off a bunch of people. A terrible man. But next to his brother over there, he was a saint." Thank you for the $50,000. That's a smart pastor. Oh, I've got to hurry. We're out of time. Oh, I tell you what, we're gonna stop right here. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. Your word is alive. It tells the truth about life. It tells the truth about battle. It tells the truth about what people do, lies and manipulation. It tells the truth about failure. But it tells the truth about hope. Saul and Jonathan are going to be sung about and really honored. And Jonathan had a lot of honorable qualities, but Saul, you know, thinking about his life, there may not have been a lot of positives to focus on, but David is showing, as one of his first acts as king, he's showing the people how to have grace. He's showing the people how to mourn. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. You wept over the city of Jerusalem. And you're not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. And Lord, thank you that you are so patient with me, that you don't focus on my failures. You're a God of grace and mercy. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you knew what you were getting when you signed me up. And I entered into your kingdom, and thank you that you are so patient. And as we see the new king ascending to the throne, he's going to honor the man who was his chief nemesis for years. He's going to show him grace and focus on the good things about him. And Lord, we tend to do that at memorial services, and we tend not to do it when people are alive. Oh God, forgive us. For how many times we focus on people's weaknesses instead of the beauty of who they are and seeing them through your eyes. That's something that David teaches us right from the get-go, right as he ascends to the throne. And it's something that we know is true of you, the greater David, that, you know, this David who is the human one said, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand?" You know our frame. You know that we're dust. But as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. The King of Glory came and died on that cross for us. Brothers and sisters, if you're part of that kingdom, would you just think for a moment of what your King did for you? He came to die, to open the way. If you've not met him, if he's not your King right now, make him your King. Swear allegiance to him. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe the King came down from heaven. I believe the King went to the cross. I believe the King conquered the grave. I believe the king is at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to intercede for his people, for his kingdom. Lord, I want to seek first your kingdom. Pray it if it's you. Pray it if you're a believer right now. I want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Please add to me those things that you promise. Make me the man, the woman, the boy or girl that you've called me to be, the young adult that you've called me to be. Change me, Lord. Make me more like the king. Give me a heart after God. That's what David had, but Jesus had a heart after God because he is God. Conform us more into the image of the great King, Lord. Do a mighty work. Let your Holy Spirit move, breathing life and perspective and hope and faith and diligence and perseverance into your people as we follow the rule and reign and leading of our King. In Jesus' holy name, I pray, and all God's people say.
You've been listening to How the Mighty Have Fallen, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, if you were to look at King Saul and maybe appear before him, you would be impressed with not only his position, but how he looked. And he would have all the accoutrements of an impressive life, but he had a life that ended up falling apart. And it begs a question that we all want to ask ourselves, and it's this: how do I keep my life from falling apart? How do I build on something that will actually last, that will be stable and solid? And if you're asking those questions, you're asking the right kind of questions. And the answer to that question is to build on the greater David. His name is Jesus. You see, there's no other foundation that can be laid than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then we build on top of that foundation. And 1 Corinthians describes how we build. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there it's talking about ministry and Paul and Apollos and so forth. But it's really talking about how from that foundation, we're to use our gifts and build the kingdom of God. And that's the key, my friend, my brother, my sister, is to be building the kingdom of God. See, nothing will be able to ultimately oppose that kingdom. The gates of Hades will not prevail against God's people, God's church. And so this is how you do it. If you want to build on something solid, you build on the one who is solid. His name is Jesus. Have you met him? Do you know him? Do you know him as your strong foundation? Do you know him as your refuge and strength? David ran to him often. In the Psalms, David would talk about God being his refuge and strength and the rock that is higher than I. He's the one that you build on. And if you haven't started that journey with Jesus, cry out to him right now. Lord Jesus, save me. Be my rock. Be my deliverer. I believe you died on that cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I trust you now. Be my strong foundation. Be my Savior and my King and my God. And if you've been running from Jesus and things have been wobbly lately, and when the storms have blown, you have found yourself real shaky, it's time to get back to that strong, solid foundation. His name is Jesus. And if you're a prodigal, if you've been a wandering sheep, come home. And maybe you need some help with that. Maybe it's a simple prayer like, Jesus, I repent. Believers do need to repent. I'm sorry for running away, walking away. I want to start building again on that strong foundation. I don't want to do this on my own. I need you. You know, a prayer like that, the Lord will honor. And if we can help you in any way, one way to reach out to us is through the website. It's walkintruth.com. This is Pastor Michael. walkintruth.com. Use that contact form. We read every one of the correspondences we get. We'll respond to you in whatever way is appropriate. It is walkintruth.com. This is Pastor Michael, and we will see you right here, Lord willing, tomorrow.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part 4 of How the Mighty Have Fallen.
Can you say to somebody, you know what? You're beautiful in God's sight. You're a rose in the desert. You know, you speak beauty into people's lives. How many of you, just take a moment right now, can remember someone who spoke a refreshing word into your life when you were at a low point? Just think for a moment. How long have you lived on that?
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.